welcome to everyone being here tonight. Thank you so much for coming. And, of course, we say welcome to all of those that are watching and worshiping with us virtually. If you are, please let us know that you're doing that, either by YouTube, Facebook, or our website, wherever you're watching from. Just let us know that you're watching. Please do that, and we thank you for that. And those of you here, check in on your device and let them know you're at church on Wednesday night. Amen. There's still such a thing as Wednesday night church. Amen. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Turn in your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 24. Now, tonight's teaching, as well as the one from last Wednesday night, I would encourage you to pass along to your family and particularly your children and grandchildren. Because as we'll discover tonight, one of the biggest weapons of the enemy is worldwide deception. So he's about deceiving a lot of people. And so it's important that you be a conveyor of the truth. And the truth is only embodied in Jesus and his word. Amen. And so understanding has to start with that premise. That's about Jesus and his word. Amen. So they came to Jesus in Matthew chapter 24, verse 3, as we read here. And they asked him a question privately. They said in verse 3, now he sat on the Mount of Olives. His disciples came to him privately saying, tell us when will these things be and what? So they're asking a very specific, detailed questions. What will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? So a three-part question. And what is known as the Olivet Discourse is what he began to answer. It starts at this chapter 24, and it ends all the way through the end of chapter 25. So if you want to understand the full answer to his question, read chapters 24 and 25 of Matthew. Amen. And we find out that Jesus gave general signs and he gave specific signs all the way through the end of the age, when, in other words, we would say the tribulation period itself. So Jesus gave them lots of information all the way through the end of what we would call in biblical terms the tribulation period. Because at the end of the tribulation period is when Jesus Christ comes back again to rule and reign for 1,000 years. Now, we'll see that in a graphic here in just a moment. But look at verse 4. It says that Jesus answers and said, take heed that no one does what? Deceive you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ. I'm the anointed one of his. And deceive how many? Many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled. Now, we can stop and talk about verse 5 and 4, 5, and 6 all night, because that's instruction to us. He told us, brothers and sisters, that you and I have to take heed that nobody deceives us. Nobody. Nobody. Everybody say nobody. And he said, see to it that you are not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in various places, and these are the beginning of sorrows. That means it's just getting started. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you'll be hated of all nations for my name's sake, and then many will be offended and will betray one another, and will hate one another. See, he's given a lot of details here. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. Verse 12, and because lawlessness will abound, and the love of many will grow cold, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached unto all the world as a witness to all nations, and then shall the end come. So if you look at this chart that we have called the Olivet Discourse, I copied it out of my Tim LaHaye Prophecy Bible. It's a really good chart, very simplified in that regard. And if you can put that up, guys, the Olivet Discourse chart, the first slide there. And it will portray to you the just a timeline of what's coming up. Now, I want you to see this as they put it up here. As you get it up there, and once it comes up. And Jesus spoke of many signs that will precede the end of the age, including signs in the heavens, including signs that are economic instability. We've seen that. All right, so can everybody see this? And if somebody can get the backlight, just one of them, and we can kind of walk through this a little bit. So we see here the church age is where we are now. The church age started in the book of Acts on the day of Pentecost. That's when the church was born. Jesus ascended into heaven as our great high priest, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's now been exalted to at the right hand of the Father. And then he sent the Holy Spirit, who's now in charge of the church. Amen. And so this is when you know, the cross they see here, and then the church age. And he talks about the sign, all these signs, and then the rapture just before the tribulation period begins, which is 7 years. The first 3.5 years is tribulation. The second 3.5 years is great tribulation. Everybody say, you don't want to be there. You want to make the first round up. Amen. And, of course, this is what is called Daniel's 70th week, typically, in biblical prophecy. It's also called a period of judgment for the Jews. The church will go to heaven and be judged at the judgment seat of Christ. That means all born again, blood-washed believers, those that are walking in the will of God for their lives. All right, so, and then Jesus will come back to the earth and judge the nations. And then he will reign for 1,000 years. And then there will be one final judgment called the Great White Throne Judgment. And people will get their final sentence who are unredeemed at that point. And then we will go into what they call the eternity age, where time will be no more. So Jesus has given us a discourse all the way through the time he comes back. You can cut the light back on for a minute. So Jesus spoke of many signs that precede the end of the age, including signs in heavens, economic instability, great seismic activity, illegal persecution of Christians, warring political systems, famines, persecution, pestilence, commotions, ethnic conflicts, imprisonments of believers, the emergence of false prophets, the love of many waxing cold, fearful sights, unknown diseases, wars, and rumors of wars. So Jesus predicted all these things. These would be signs, but the first, everybody say the first, that's on your handout there. The first and the foremost sign he provided was the warning that a worldwide deception would emerge. We have the handouts over there on the, somebody get one for her. And would emerge at the very end of the age. Now that's where we are now. It's the biggest and best, biggest weapon that Satan has, the weapon of deception. He's a master at it. He did it in the garden, and he's doing it today. And in verse 4, Matthew 24, 4, Jesus answered them and said, "Take heed that no one," everybody say nobody, "deceive you." deceive you. Now, the Greek word for deceive is the word, we think we have it there in your handout, planeo, to wander off course, to morally lose one's bearings. That means you're being deceived. It's a picture, it pictures deception of a moral wandering. The word planeo is also used to describe a lost animal that can't find its path back home. So there's an onslaught of deception that is attacking culture from every direction. And it's a mindset that is seeping into our government, the educational system, and virtually all forms of arts and media. How is Satan getting to people? Through all those things. Now let's look at a scripture in 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians, let's go there. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And I'm going to start at verse 1, guys. Not verse 7. So if you can back up to verse 1. 2 Thessalonians verse 1, it says this. Look at this. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and the gathering together to him, we ask you, verse number 2, not to be soon shaken in mind or trouble. Isn't that what Jesus said? See to it that you not be troubled. That's instruction for us. Look at this. Either by spirit or by word or by letter or as it were from us, as though the day of Christ has come. Let no one do what? Everybody see that? Verse 3. Let no one by how many means? By any means. Let no one deceive you by any means. For that day will not come unless a falling away comes first. This is a sign. And the man of sin is revealed. Who's the man of sin? That's the Antichrist. The son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshiped, so that he sits as God, talking about Satan, in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Do you remember? Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? So Paul, I'm in good company. Paul taught about the end time deception, and we have to teach about it in the end time things because people get deceived. Verse 6, and now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. 4, verse 7, the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. King James says it's mystery of iniquity. But mystery of lawlessness is already at work. So it's already working. While we're sitting here in church, the mystery of iniquity is at work. It's at work at schools where many of our grandkids and great-grandkids go. It's there at the house going through media and social media platforms. It's at work. It's online in many different websites and portals of false prophets and false teachers. Only he who now restrains will do so until he's taken out of the way. That means the church has to go before this thing becomes wide open. And the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. That's when he comes back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords to rule and reign. He's going to destroy the Antichrist then. But right now, he's being restrained from revealing himself until the church goes. Amen? Now, why am I saying all this? Because some people get scared and people get nervous and people get fearful. But see, I said it before and I said it in the text. These things are not to scare us. They are to prepare us. Everybody say, this is for preparation and not for fear. Amen. Praise. Because we talked about the rapture last week. People get quiet thinking about rapture and end times. And the Bible says we are to comfort and encourage one another with those words that Jesus is coming soon. Don't worry about people that die in the Lord or die in Jesus. Amen. And don't be sorrowing and getting sad over people that are passing away in the Lord. Keep on your task. Keep on your mission. Get ready and stay ready for Jesus to come back. Everybody good? All right. Let's pick it up in verse 9. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of who? Satan, with all power, signs, and what kind of wonders? Lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive. This is big right here. They did not receive the love of what? The truth, that they might be saved. We're going to talk about that at the end. Perilous times also bring about perilous people, men and women. And perilous people reject truth. And for this reason, God will send them a strong delusion that they shall believe what? In other words, God's not causing it. He's allowing it. He's permitting them. You don't want me? You don't want to know about me? God is saying that. You don't want to know about me? You don't know the truth about me and my son and my mercy and my grace that I poured out on all humanity, my love that I commended towards you and forgiving you all your sins? You don't want to know about that? Then he said, to have it your way then. That's what he's saying. Have it your way. And he allowed them to be strongly, send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. We are in a delusionary culture. Because people have no recourse when they reject truth. When they reject truth, they're going to swallow the lies. And they're going to get delusionary and be self-deluded. Unfortunately, there are self-deluded Christians. But a lot of people believe false truths or lies today. And God's saying, go at it. And they will all be, and that they all may be what? Condemned, who did not believe the what? The truth, but had pleasure in what? In unrighteousness. Does everybody see this? Somebody say, praise the Lord. All right, we're going to put up the next chart, the next slide, which we'll see here when they get it up, because that one tells us a little bit about when is this big man of sin coming, or when is this thing culminating here. All right, thank you, guys. So until the rapture comes, the man of sin is not revealed yet. Because when he says, our gathering together unto him, it implies and infers the rapture. We're going to be taken out before the man of sin, the Antichrist, is revealed. And you know, remember, he's going to come on the scene on a white horse. White always symbolically means purity, but he's going to conquer nations and get accords with nation, become a one world leader, and then it's going to be deceived. It's many people, even some of the Jews, are going to think he's a Messiah. Until he reveals himself in the temple in Jerusalem, and because Paul already called his number out. He says he's going to be from Satan, and he's going to declare himself as God. That's why we know in that period, many people will be challenged, because he will say, get a mark, which is back when we talked about it last on the Sundays about Polycarp and about those martyrs, Antipas. They were told, disavow your loyalty to Christ, denounce Christ, and say, Caesar is Lord. This is going back to that. That he's going to say, you can't even buy or sell unless you get a mark that says you belong to me. The man of sin. It's called the mark of the beast. 666, 666. Right hand or your forehead. We don't know if it's going to be a chip or etched in mark or QR code embedded into your skin or something. We don't know. You can only speculate about that. But he's basically going to control people and the population by their natural carnal appetites. You can't eat, you can't drink water, and you can't buy nothing or spend your money. They're going to lock up your bank accounts unless you pledge your allegiance to me. So people who backslidden to a point to where they don't make the rapture or something like that, or just here during that time, they coming back, they're going to have to go through some really hard times. Because the church will be gone. Everybody here with me? Now again, it's not to scare us, but to do what? Prepare us. I guarantee you, you know, I'm not the scholar like Dr. Rick Renner or some of these other guys that teach this. But you need to teach this to your kids. You need to have a conversation about this. You need to teach it to your grandkids. But guess who Satan going after? Your kids and grandkids and great-grandkids. Because they think, man, they didn't even pretty much throw the Bible out. And the biggest deception is to throw the truth out. That's the start of it. We don't read the Bible. We don't care what the Bible says. We believe science more than the Savior. Oh, thank you. Thank you. I need that encouragement. Okay. And see, he's going to come on and he's going to act like he's Jesus Christ. But he's not. He's the Antichrist. And he's going to desecrate the temple right here. And then at this point, 144,000 Jews are going to have a seal on their forehead and a mark in their heart by God. And they're going to get turned on to God. They're going to say, their eyes are going to be open and say, this is not the Savior. They're going to repent and get on fire. And then Jesus is going to come back and he's going to destroy this man of sin. As Paul said, we just read it, with the spirit of his mouth and the brightness of his coming. That means the glory of God. You think nuclear? Think Holy Spirit nuclear. That he's going to speak and that sword's going to come out of his mouth like a nuclear explosion and melt them, including the Antichrist. The Bible says in the book of Revelation, the battle of Armageddon is going to be one day and the blood will rise to 6 feet high. I'm 6 feet tall. It's going to rise that high with the horse's bridle. So you imagine a valley full of blood, my height. You don't want to be on that person's side. Because he opposes all that is God. It's still today working. Because he said the mystery of lawlessness is already working today. So what are you and I to do? Prepare our families by working the word through our families. They're getting pumped through schools. They're getting pumped through the social media platforms that they get access to. They're getting pumped in through TV and online activity. What? Things that are lawless and not of God and not of Jesus. And we almost get in fear to tell them any truth about the word. Everybody Everybody say it with me, Pastor. This is not to scare us, but to prepare us. That's why I believe one of the most important ministries, two most important ministries in the church, is the children and the youth. Because when we don't bring children to church and we don't talk to children at home about Christ or the Word, Satan can get them quick. He can get them quick. And if they don't stay strong through middle school and high school with the Word, guess what? When they leave and become grown, what do? What the man of sin and lawlessness has taught them. They go out there and sin. They go out there and believe the lie that I don't need to be loyal to Christ. I don't need to love God. I don't even need to learn truth. I should have had a better amen for children's ministry and youth ministry. It's a big thing on my heart. It's a thing that Pastor Cynthia and I we're going to talk about and pray about while we're there. We want to hear from God because Satan is going after the kids. And it's easy to get them when they don't know truth. When they're on their iPad and they Google and they play games or do whatever and they don't even learn even any truth about Scripture. They learn technology before they learn truth. That's how you know Satan's working. Not to scare us, but to prepare us to live big and bold for Jesus Christ and live triumphantly through the victoriously in Christ these last days and end times. Somebody say, praise the Lord. All right, let's go to Timothy. We're just going to let the Word kind of talk to us tonight. And we're going to really get into some things. Thank you, guys. But know this, 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. But know this. Everybody say, I'm supposed to know this. You're not supposed to forget this. You're supposed to know it. The word gnosko is knowledge that you are connected to and intimate with. Know this, that the last days. Now, underline or circle that word last days, because he's not talking about the general reference to last days. That Greek word or reference is the last of the last days. So if you're talking about days, you're talking about the last day of the week. If you're talking about months, you're talking about the last week of the month. If you're talking about a year, you're talking about the last month of the year. So he's saying this is the last of the last of the last days, the very end of the age. We're living in it right now. Somebody say, praise the Lord. He said, what kind of times? Perilous times will come. For men shall be lovers of themselves, lovers of money. Lovers of themselves just means selfishness, self-indulgence, self-centeredness, self-serving. Your conversation is about your three favorite people, me, myself, and what? When the first requirements of discipleship, Jesus said, if you want to come and follow me, you must first deny yourself and take up your cross daily and follow me. In other words, your self-denial is a Christian discipline and practice that we all should do. Don't put yourself first. The way to go up is to go down. Amen. But we live in the spirit of the age is individualism. The spirit of individualism. We're living a selfie generation where everything's about me. What I want to do, what I got to do, what I got to have, what I got to get, who I got to become. Self-exaltation is a big deal today. Hence the onslaught of social media bombardment and media bombardment. Most of the commercials are about making you look better, making you feel better, making you get something better. I mean, just get out a new iPhone. How many commercials are you going to see? A new Samsung Galaxy or whatever. How many commercials are you going to see? Because they want you to think about who? You. What you got to have. What you got to get. What your flesh desires and what your flesh wants. Men should be lovers of themselves. Lovers of money. Oh, that's there. Because people struggle with tithing and giving and generosity because they love money. Don't fool yourself. You love money. Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. That's big. Unthankful, unholy. Notice those run together. You have a very ungrateful generation. I call it, and others have called it, a generation that feels entitled. You should do this for me. I'm entitled for you to do this for me. And they're not thankful or grateful. You slave all day and cook for them or wash their clothes and help them out, and they don't say thank you. I'm entitled to this. That's what I said. You should sit down with your kids and grandkids and go over it. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Unholy, unloving, unforgiving. You don't want to be in that ungroup. Slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good. Traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. So you love pleasure more than God. In other words, they spend more money on pleasure than they spend more money on God's priorities. Because you know how it is. When it comes to your personal desires and your personal spending, for you, you spare no expense. But when you come to give to the church or give to the things of God, you penny pinching. Having a form of godliness but denying its power, such people turn away. He said those kind of people you should not be running with. For this sort of are those who creep into households and make captive gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away in various lusts, always learning and never able to come into the knowledge of the truth. Now, as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so then these resist the truth. What's the central thing? Truth. We just read it in Thessalonians. They rejected truth. They resisted truth. All connected to deception. Deception is not to embrace or engage the truth, but you embrace and engage the lie, the deception. And people spend energy and effort and money, economic resources to promulgate the lie, to push out the lie. Because it's a generation where the enemy of deception is going worldwide. He says, as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses. Who was Jannes and Jambres? Anybody know? Come on, guess. Somebody make a point. Anybody know? Who's Jannes and Jambres? They were the two. We just read Exodus. Okay. They were the two magicians. In Pharaoh's court, when he threw down his pole, it became a stake. They threw down there. But Paul, by revelation, said they resisted Moses. Because Moses' pole and Moses represented the truth. The other two, Jannes and Jambres, represented magic or the lie. And right before Moses, what do we see? Moses' snake did what? It swallowed up and ate up the other two snakes. symbolic of. They tried to resist the truth, but you can do, according to Corinthians, you can do nothing against the truth, but only for the truth. And for you to know the truth will make you free. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say, hallelujah. So people are resisting truth. He said, these so do also these resist truth. Men of corrupt, what kind of minds? Corrupt minds disapprove concerning the faith that they will be progressed no what further, for their folly will be manifest to all as theirs also was. And Moses demonstrated, I mean, you got to just illustrate that story, because you got to see when Moses threw down that rod and came a snake, you know, it was like a snake measuring contest. You know, my snake big as you, I can do the same thing you do. But that was Satan working through those magicians. But what was God saying? You can't triumph over truth with your lies. Somebody said, glory to God. All right, but you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, and happened to me in Antioch and Iconium and Lystra, at what persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, all who desires to live godly in Christ will suffer what? Persecution. But evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse. What are they doing? Deceiving and being what? Deceived. So what do you should take note of? Evil men and impostors will grow what? Worse and worse. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing of whom you have learned them, for that from a childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, and which is able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for what? Doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So this gives us a picture of end time realities. Number one, end time reality is there will be perilous times and perilous men and women. There will be perilous times and perilous women. We shouldn't be shocked and awe and all surprised when evil men and imposters or seducers, it says people that seduce, it is a word that means they take and they peel truth out of you, and they pull truth out of you. That's a seducer. Because just like Jannes and Jambres was resisted Moses, you're going to have people that resist you. You ain't got to go to church. You ain't got to tithe. Why do I have to ask for forgiveness? Why do I have to repent? People at work will resist you. People in your neighborhood might resist you. People in your own family will resist you. Perilous times, perilous men and women. So don't be deceived. What are they doing? Deceiving and being deceived. That's all they're doing. They wagging their tongues, trying to pull truth out of people and put lies into people. Everybody say, you got to watch who you're talking to. Talking to and listening to. But you have to continue in the things you've learned and been assured of. You can't go away from the word. So everybody say, don't go away from the word. Don't go away from the word. Stick with the word. Don't believe anything because I say it. Believe it because the word says it. And that's what we're doing. We're reading you the word. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Because see, some people think, well, there's end time events and there's end time evil. Jesus predicted that, but he started off by telling us, take heed, no man deceives you. That's the biggest sign. And so we're just breaking it down from Paul, who said, the people, are going to just be just as bad as the perilous times. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So perilous means dangerous, hazardous, full of risk, great stress and trouble, hard to deal with, hard to bear. How many know times get that way sometimes? But also people are that way sometimes. They're dangerous. They're full of risks. They stress you out. They cause trouble in your house and to your heart. They're hard to deal with. They're hard to bear. Y'all ain't got quiet on me. So the Apostle Paul, by the Holy Spirit, in this section of Scripture, introduces 19 descriptors. 19 descriptors that will characterize and break that will characterize the breakdown of both society and the family. The attack is against our culture and against the society, but friends, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, beloved saints of God, the attack is also against your family. That's why he doesn't want your family in Christ, nor does he want your family in church, the body of Christ. Because the church is called, in Timothy, the pillar and the ground of truth. You hang around truth bearers and truth walkers and talkers, then that error gets rubbed out of you. That lying or stinking thinking comes out of you because you can't stand in the face of truth and not get free from the lies. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. So truth starts and ends with who? Jesus Christ the Lord. Somebody say, praise the Lord. That's why you got to teach the kids Jesus. You got to teach the teenagers and the young adults Jesus. Stick with Jesus. Stick with the word. Stick with truth. If you don't teach the truth and you withhold the truth from people in your life and you hide the truth, then you could allow Satan to come in and deceive them for the rest of their life and eternity. That's why Sunday night prayer is so important, because the lie that comes is we don't have to pray for nobody. Even though we're going to be on the road, we're going to have prayer because we need to be praying about this. You need to break Satan's power over people that he's blinded in their minds in your family. He's the deceiver. But if he doesn't make you bad, he makes you what? Busy, and so you don't even mind. You're too busy to pray. Those grandkids of ours, those great-grandkids of yours, those children need to be exposed to the truth, because all Scripture is given by what? Inspiration of God. It's profitable for what? Doctrine, systematic truth, and sound teaching of truth. Doctrine, order of God. Hallelujah. For correction, it is the dismantling and the exposing of error. Correction is good for reproof and for instruction of right. It's the systematic application of truth so that life can change. That's why you need to have the word in your house. You need to be talking the word in your house. You can't have discussions, deep discussions, about theory and suppositions and what somebody said on the internet or TV. What does the word say? Why? Because Jesus told us, let no man deceive you. Then, number two, see to it that you be not troubled. In John 14, he said, let not your heart be troubled. Are y'all getting something out of this tonight? Somebody say, praise the Lord. So 19 descriptions, these descriptions characterize the breakdown of society and family. So you don't have to have some theory about it or some conspiracy concept about it. You know what's happening. It's already said in the Bible what's happening. These are end time realities. We know there's end time events. We showed the charts. There's end time evil that will happen, but there's also end time realities. These are the people that we have to deal with and come in contact with and interact with. Somebody say, praise the Lord. All right, let's go to 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy 2, 3. We're looking at the Amplified. Let's look at the Amplified. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5, an Amplified classic. I'm going to read it off the screen up here. Thank you, guys. Appreciate you. But understand this, that in the last days, remember, this is the last of the last of the last days. That in the last days will come set in perilous times. What times? Of great stress and trouble, hard to deal with and hard to bear. For people will be lovers of who? Self, and utterly what? Self-centered. Now, sometimes people get frustrated because they're dealing with self-appeasable. They really disappoint you or they really irritate you because they don't care about what you care about or your needs or what you desire, or they don't prefer you at all. They don't honor you. They just think about who? Themselves. They're utterly self-centered. And as I've said before, we live in an age with the spirit of individualism. We live in a selfish, selfie generation. That's a big deal. Because they don't care if you running late to what you got to do. They just said, I got to do what I want to do. And you just tolerate, and your life centers around me. Lovers of money, aroused by an inordinate, greedy desire for wealth. That's big today. Proud, arrogant, and contemptuous boasters. That's big today. They will be abusive, blasphemous, and scoffing. Disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, and profane. Verse 3. They will be without natural human affection, calloused, and inhuman. What did Jesus say in Matthew 24? That because iniquity abounds, the love of many will wax or grow cold. That word grow cold is the Greek word that means to blow, like you blowing wind on a candlestick. You blow it till the fire goes out. The love goes cold. It waxes up now. Relentless, admitting of no truce or appeasement. People get in a mindset or a mind frame that I'm going all out for evil. And there's no forgiveness here. There's no love. There's no grace left in me. There's no mercy left in me. They will be slanderers. That's big today. People talking about people. And the Greek word for slander is the word also used for the devil. Diablos. It's a derivative of the word diablos, which means if you slander, it's like you're partnering in the devil's work. So people like to talk about people. People like to talk about their boss, how imperfect and how horrible they are, how intolerable they are. People like to talk about other people behind their back. You got a lot of people who label themselves and call themselves Christians who talk about people. And they don't realize they're partnering with the devil to do his work of deception and division and destruction. That's his big D's. Deception, division, he divides and destroys, and he destroys. False accusers, troublemakers, intemperate and loose in morals and conduct. They don't care. Adultery is no longer in my wheelhouse. You know, I don't care if I commit adultery. I don't care if I commit fornication. Uncontrolled, fierce haters of what? They don't want to do good. They want to do bad. Verse 4. They will be treacherous. This is people. He's talking to the church. Betrayers, rash, and inflated with what? Now, he says it's perilous, sisters and brothers, because he's talking to people that supposedly say, I'm a Christian. He said they will be lovers of sensual pleasures and vain amusements more than rather than lovers of who? For although they had a form of piety, true religion, they deny and reject and are strangers to the power of it. Their conduct belies the genuineness of their profession. Avoid all such people. Turn away from who? Turn away from them. Y'all still good? Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Praise the Lord. We're almost done. And we got one more scripture, big scripture to cover. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 through 5. Look at this. Now the Spirit speaks expressly, says that in the latter times. So we see the last days, the latter times, and the end times. All kind of run congruently to the other. Some will, what? Depart from the faith. Giving heed to do what? Seducing, deceiving spirits. There it is again. Deception and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanded to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe the truth. Praise the Lord. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. Praise the Lord. So what are people doing? The second end time reality is there's a great apostasy of people departing from the Christian faith and the compass of truth, the compass of truth. They're departing from the Christian faith and the compass of truth. What is the compass of truth? Well, any teaching, people brace teachings that depart from the faith of the Bible, that the Bible instructs and teaches, the sovereignty of God, the sovereignty and the deity of God. The Lordship of Jesus Christ, evidenced by his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension. The necessity of repentance. So people tell you, you don't have to repent. When repentance is a legal expression and a legal action of your faith to turn away from disobedience and sin and degradation back to God. It's the only way back. That's why Jesus' first message in the Gospels, in Mark, we just read Mark 1 a few days ago, and he said, when he first preached, repent for the kingdom of heaven at hand. We're teaching on Sunday the seven churches to Asia Minor, the seven words. Every church, he says, repent. And as we often say, you got to keep your repenter close. But people teach you, you don't have to repent. That's the first doctrine of Christ, repentance from dead works, and then certainty and availability and reality of grace. Oh, man, that's so good. The preeminence of love, both the love of God for both God and others, the authority of Scripture, and then the person and power of the Holy Spirit. He's the Spirit of truth. He's the one who will guide us into all truth. He will show us things to come. People denounce or what they call offend, vex, or sadden the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth. So it's a great apostasy, or in other words, the deception leads to defection. People defect the faith, the Christian faith. They defect from the compass of truth. Instead of being centered on truth, they're centered on lies or other things. All right, last section of scripture is Romans chapter 18. Let's go to Romans. Everybody say, praise the Lord. Everybody say, not to scare us, but to prepare us. And you got to prepare your families. I challenge you during the month of March to spend more time in as a family or in with your family members reading the Bible, getting in the Word. Amen. It's a good way to kind of review the message on Wednesday night. Sit down and listen to it together. Talk about it. Don't look at me in that tone of voice. Hallelujah. We're at the end of the end of the end. We're the last day of the week. We're the last week of the month. We're the last month of the year. This is the last of the last days. Somebody say, praise the Lord. All right. Verse 18, Romans chapter 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all what? All ungodliness and all what? Unrighteousness of men who suppress the. Now so we see people resisting truth, but now here people suppressing the truth. What's the common thing? What you do with the truth? You reject it, you resist it, or you receive it. That's what these end time realities should mean to us. Not to scare us, but to prepare us. Look at this. Because what they made, because what, verse 10, verse 19, excuse me, verse 19. Because what they be known of God is manifested in them, for God has shown it to them. Either through their conscience or creation, or through preaching Christ. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they were without excuse. So people say, well, I don't go to church. I don't hear about Jesus Christ. But you got your own conscience and you got your creation that testify against you, that there is a God. And the truth is there's one mediator between God and man, Jesus Christ, because he said his will is for all men to be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. Verse 21, because they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful. See that theme again. They were unthankful and became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing them to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man. And then see the digression here. Look at the digression. And birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. That's talking about bugs and little crawly things, snakes. Idolatry always diverts back. Idolatry always digresses. Verse 24, therefore God gave them up. Uh-oh. He said, you want it? You want to worship cows and snakes and bugs and roaches? You want to worship man? You want to worship birds? You can have it. He gave them up to uncleanness and the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who changed the truth. Oh, these people exchanged the truth. The truth of God for the lie. And worship and serve the creator, serve the creature, rather than the creator who is blessed forever. Amen. Y'all see this? For this reason, God gave them up. There it is again. You think maybe Paul slipped up when he said it first, but then he says it again here in verse 31. He said, they gave up to vile passions, even their women against exchange their natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, the men, leaving natural use of a woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing that which is shameful, receiving themselves the penalty of error which was due. Let's talk about homosexuality. And people say, accept it as normal. Alternative lifestyle. And they now saying people targeting them with tobacco and other things. Verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over. So we see God gave them up, and then he gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with what kind of unrighteousness? All unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murders, strife, deceit, evil-minded. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgments of God, that they who practice such things are deserving of what? Death. Not only those that approve of those practice, those people that practice that stuff. So, end time reality number 3, the final one, as I'm getting ready to close here. Increasing unrighteous people and people who reject God. Increasing unrighteous people and people who reject God. And there's 7 ways that people reject God. We just read them. Number 1, through irreligion. Everybody say irreligion. They did not glorify him. Number 2, through ingratitude. They were not thankful. You think about it. If you go all your days and weeks and never give honor and glory to God, but honor and glory to yourself, look at what I did. I'm smart. I'm brilliant. I'm a genius. I'm this. I'm that. Look at what I cook for dinner. You post it on the internet. And God gets no credit for supplying you with the food, giving you the money to buy the food, or giving you the ability to cook the food. Are y'all here with me? We brag on the person and not the Savior, the Lord. That's irreligious. That's ungrateful. And number 3, through intellectualism. Futile in their thoughts. Futile means rash, foolish, trifling, worthless, to prate or babble. They're just talking a whole bunch of stuff. Thought of no weight, value, or importance. Intellectualism. And through ignorance, they became fools. Romans 1:22. Claiming them to be wise, instead they become utter fools. In the context, fools is someone who has heard the truth about God and deliberately rejected it. Deliberately rejected it. Number 5, they reject God through idolatry. Everybody say idolatry. That's number 5 on your handout. Change the glory of God into the image. We must be cautious and guarded against the people who, through things and people we idolize. Icons and images that we embrace and engage in more so than the Lord. If you're scrolling in a certain website that has either apparel or clothes or things that you like, you got to take a break from it and say, God, I need your will and desire about this. I don't want to start lusting and coveting after this. Praise God. Because see what it says in verse 23, New Living Translation, instead of in worshiping the glorious and ever-living God, they worship idols and made to look like mere people and birds and animals and reptiles. So they were making images of all that. I go to the bank over here when I take the deposit to the bank, and there's a teller that has all these little turtles, and they remind me of people that just like certain things. They have idols and they have collections around, and you can't even get them to talk about it or sell it, because that's my stuff. And you go in people's houses sometimes, you got pictures of all their kids and grandkids and family members and stuff like that, and they'll talk to you for an hour about their idols. Worshiping the created, not the creator, is idolatry. the people worshiped images of humans, then birds and four-footed animals and ultimately creeping things. Their idols had become the base, and they became just like them. Verse 25, they traded the truth about God for a lie, so they worshiped and served the things of God instead of the Creator himself, who is worthy of eternal praise. See, idolatry is a downward spiral. The opposite of people who believe in evolution, idolatry is devolution. Devolving is getting darker, duller, spiritually denser, more downward and digressed. Number six, people reject God through immorality. The lust of their hearts. We must strive to live morally clean and clear through spiritual morality, purity, sexual morality or purity, and social morality and purity. That's why we tell you in a social context, vote the Bible, vote truth, vote the values that are contained in Scripture or what candidate closely aligns with those values. Hebrews 13:4 says marriage should be honored by all and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and the sexually immoral. Adultery is unlawful and immoral sex outside of covenant marriage or holy matrimony. Fornication is sexual immorality and sexual perversion. And people reject God, number seven, through inversion. Inversion. Everybody say inversion. So that's exchanging the natural use of what is against nature. Inversion is turning or change of the natural order of things, or turning backwards or contrary to the rule of operation. And people tolerate today. You know, but Romans 1:26 and 27 says, for this reason God them gave them up to vile passions. That means not good. For even their women exchange their natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, the men leaving the natural use of women, burned for their lust against one another, men and women committing what is unshameful and receiving themselves a penalty for the error that was due. So rejecting God is an end time reality, and rejecting the truth about God. Amen. Come on, stand to your feet just a minute. Thank you, Lord. Now, let me say this, because some people might get a little irritated by what I just left it there. But no consequence or sin lies beyond God's grace, mercy, and forgiveness. So this is clear in the New Testament. But the New Testament reference for homosexuality and lesbianism is based on choice and conduct. So homosexuality and lesbianism are a choice. And they're not a natural condition you were born with. The Bible says you change the use of your nature through inversion and perversion. So lust is not a sickness, but it's a sin. Sodom and Gomorrah and three other cities all were destroyed because of homosexuality and lesbianism. And all three of those cities now are in the Middle East called the Dead Sea. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for helping us tonight get a revelation, even greater concept and understanding of end time evil and events. For us, it's not to scare us, but to prepare us. And end time people and realities, that what kind of people will turn out during these last and, Father God, evil days that we live in. Help us to prepare. Help us not to get fearful and hopeless, but to rise up and step up and be the church. And build the church in Jesus' name, all to the glory of God. And everybody said, amen. Let's